you're very, very welcome. Welcome to those who are tuning in through Facebook or through our podcast. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you hear his word tonight. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that the Spirit of the living God would help us all to hear what you're saying to us, please. Father, we live in days when Christians, God forbid, Lord, are being afraid to tell the truth because they're afraid, Lord God, that they might offend people. Thank you for Shiloh, Lord, because we don't worry about people being offended if they're offended by the word of God. We ask, Almighty God, please, that tonight you would speak your truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen. In our new series, Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, or Know Jesus, N-O, Jesus, What's Your Excuse? We want to look at different excuses that people give for not becoming a Christian. And there's hundreds of them. And over the next number of weeks, we'll be taking some of the most common ones. But what we have to make clear from the outset is our response to people's excuses will be taken from the Bible. Because as Christians, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Now, no doubt some of those people who make the excuses will retort, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, I don't care whether you believe in the Bible or not. I do, and we're responding with God's Word to people's excuses from a Christian point of view. The Bible is the Christian's only authoritative word on any of these subjects. I could have my views on gay marriage and the people who were walking through Belfast yesterday desperately, desperately wanting for us to buy into the counterfeit of God's good marriage. I could buy into the whole argument about abortion and say, yeah, women have a choice. They have a choice to murder their babies or not. But I cannot just give out my opinion. I must stress what the Word of God says because it is our only authority on any of these subjects. And each week we will seek to outline the excuses given and the biblical response. Now, they're not going to be in-depth discussions. They're only a brief synopsis of a much wider debate. And I have to say that our list of people's excuses isn't exhaustive. There's just far too many. Anybody who's been doing door-to-door evangelism with us over the years will hear every possible excuse that you could imagine for people not wanting to become Christians. But we're going to try to cover the most common ones. So let's begin. First and foremost, this is all about excuses. And if you look at the definition of excuse, the definition of the word excuse is a reason or explanation given to justify a fault or an offense. Isn't that interesting? An excuse is a reason or explanation given to justify a fault or offense. To make excuses why you won't become a Christian means you're trying to justify a fault. You're already at fault by making an excuse. You're trying to justify a fault or offense. So let's be clear from the outset that we in Shiloh Christian Fellowship believe that the majority of people who've heard of God and who have heard of his love for mankind, sending his son Jesus into the world to die for our sin, we believe that through repentance and faith in Jesus, people can be forgiven for their sins and have everlasting life. Yet the majority who have heard this message willfully choose to ignore it, reject it, and make excuses why they refuse to follow Christ, why they refuse to be Christians. In fact, would it surprise you to know that even those who haven't heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ also make excuses? You see, it's in our DNA, if you want to put it that way. It's in our DNA to make excuses. Adam did it in the Garden of Eden. When Eve gave him of the forbidden fruit to eat, when God asked Adam, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?" Adam's excuse was, "The woman you gave me, or the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." That was his excuse. And therefore, it shouldn't astonish us to know that if you're making an excuse for not becoming a Christian, it's because it's already in your fallen human nature to do so. And that proves God's word true when God's word says you are a sinner. Remember, keep this in mind, making an excuse is simply giving a reason or explanation to justify a fault or offense. No K-N-O-W, no Jesus, or no N-O Jesus. What's your excuse? Well, the first excuse to be covered this evening is this, and we've all probably heard it who have been out doing door-to-door evangelism, and over the years that you've been a Christian and you've spoken to people about the Lord, the first excuse that I'm covering tonight is, I don't believe in God. Now, I need Christians to understand, when you come across people who will say to you, "I don't believe in God," immediately remember that is just an excuse. They are giving you a reason or an explanation to justify a fault or offense. People make this claim every day and live believing that they don't believe in God. Does that make sense? People give this excuse, they make this claim every day, and they live believing that they don't believe in God. I mean, surely that's reasonable enough. I mean, some people have faith while others don't. Some people believe in God and others don't. I mean, that sounds plausible. So how is a person at fault or causing offense if they seek to justify not becoming a Christian by saying, "I don't believe in God"? When a person says, "I don't believe in God," is it safe to assume they mean they don't believe God exists? Or perhaps they do believe he exists, but they mean that they don't actually have faith in God. But let's stick to the former. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the existence of God. Well, I have to tell you, I met a couple of leprechauns the other day, and they told me what the fairies get up to on Friday night. They said a few bad fairies released Shergar from his secret stables, and Lord Lucan and Elvis Presley were frantically trying to catch him before the Banshees came out. That sounds plausible. I wish. Billy says, "Are you back on the drugs?" I wish. I mean, does that not sound plausible? I could meet a couple of leprechauns. They told me that what the fairies were up to on Friday night, that the bad fairies had released Shergar from his secret stables, and poor old Lord Lucan and Elvis Presley were frantically trying to catch him before the Banshees came out. I don't see anything wrong with that. For some people, it seems, believing in folklore, myths, superstition, and fantasy is much easier than believing in God. Or they place God into one of these categories. To them, God is nothing more than folklore, myth, superstition, or fantasy. Now, let me just ask, has anyone ever seen a leprechaun or a fairy? See, if anybody puts their hands up, I'll have 2 pints of whatever you were on. Has anyone come across Shergar? Or maybe perhaps Lord Lucan? Or Elvis Presley? Or have you seen a banshee recently? You see, there's little or no evidence to suggest Shergar, Lord Lucan, or Elvis is alive. and certainly none to prove the existence of leprechauns, fairies, or banshees. And yet people believe in these things. And it's thought that the more intelligent person wouldn't be fooled by tales of leprechauns or other superstitious claptrap. And so to extricate God, to lift God out from folklore and myths and superstition and the fantasy categories, what evidence is there that God exists? You see, the person who says, I don't believe in God, says, prove to me that he exists. So to lift God out of the folklore and out of the superstition and myth and fantasy category, what evidence is there that he actually exists? And how would he respond? And please listen to what I'm saying. How would God respond to those who say, I don't believe in God? Firstly, God would say to those whose excuse for not becoming a Christian is, I don't believe in God. God would say, you are a liar. Hear that? If you dare to say, I do not believe in God, God will tell you and is saying to you tonight, you are a liar and you are lying to yourself. Now, some people would think, flip me, Tally, that's a bit hard-hitting, don't you think? Well, we don't mince our words because God doesn't mince his words. He is a God of truth. He is a God of love. He is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy and of grace and of all of these wonderful things. But he's a God who says it as it is. And to those who say, I don't believe in God, he says, you are a liar. Now let me prove to you that's what God says. Turn, please, if you have your Bible with you, to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 18, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who himself is God, told Paul what to write, and he wrote these words. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Do you hear what God is saying? What can be known about God, what can be seen about God is manifest in them. For God himself has shown it to them. Do you hear what he's saying? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Then he goes on. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they who say, I don't believe in God, are without excuse. Because although, look at what it says, although they knew God. Hear that? Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Although God is a loving and compassionate God, and he has demonstrated his love toward us in giving Jesus his Son to die so that we might live. Although God is a loving and compassionate God,
He sees through people who make excuses saying they don't believe in him. And he clearly tells them they are liars, believing their own lies. And the reason the Bible talks about the wrath of God is revealed, the reason God's angry about this is because he says these people already know the truth that God exists, but they suppress the truth. They hold that truth down with their own lies. They believe their own lies. And every time a wee bit of something of God creeps up, they press it down with more of their own lies, because they don't want to believe in God, because if they believe in God, they have to change the way they live, because they know that they will be held accountable to God, and they don't want to know that. They want to parade the streets of Belfast saying, we want same-sex marriage, we want to murder our babies. And they will keep suppressing and suppressing truth because they don't want to face the reality that God exists and they must give account to God. There is a God in heaven. And we must all one day give account. These people say, I don't believe in God, even though God has given them all the evidence they need to know that he exists. He says that since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. In other words, creation and all of creation proves that God exists. Secondly, when you look at what God says about people who lie to themselves, saying that they don't believe in God, because that's what they're doing. They're lying to themselves. They're believing their own lies. God says of them, although they knew God. Hear that? They already knew that God existed. God says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. You see, those who say, I don't believe in God, God says they already knew me. They knew that I existed. They considered themselves to be so wise by making this grand statement, I don't believe in God. But God says, wise? They have become fools because they have willingly exchanged the truth of God for their own lies. Twice in his Psalms, inspired by the Holy Spirit who is God, King David writes these words, the fool. Remember what God has said. Those who think they are wise in their own eyes, who can say, I don't believe in God. God says they are believing their own lies because they knew that God existed, and they are not wise, but in fact they have become fools. King David wrote twice, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the person who says to you, I do not believe in God, the Bible says is a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The context, the terminology suggests that the fool is the person who knows that God exists but continues to live their life as if he doesn't. Scary that you could believe your own lies so much that you know that God exists. You believe your own lies and continue to live your life lying to yourself that he doesn't. In other words, the fool is someone who declares, I don't believe in God, because thinking they are smart, they choose to believe their own lies. Is your excuse for not becoming a Christian, I don't believe in God? If so, God says, you are a liar, willfully choosing to believe your own lies. Is it any wonder the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those who suppress the truth for the lie that they have chosen to believe. How much longer will you say, I don't believe in God, and keep suppressing, keep holding down the truth about God that you already know? You know that God exists, for crying out loud, stop lying to yourself. You know something, Christian? It's not our place to judge others. It's not our place to look down our noses at those who say they don't believe in God. At one time, we didn't believe. We didn't glorify God or have faith in Him either. But He showed us great grace and great mercy. And in His love, He drew us to Himself through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need, Christian, to pray for those who say, I don't believe in God, because we were like them. Pray and reach out in the love of God to them. And perhaps when they see something of the love of God demonstrated toward them, they might stop and think. They might stop believing their own lies. You know, maybe tonight you're here, or you're listening to the podcast, or you're live on Facebook. Maybe you're not a Christian, and perhaps your excuse is different from I don't believe in God. We've said, and we'll say it again, if you have an excuse that you would like us to cover, we will seek to do that. If you want to send an email through Facebook or through the website with what the excuse is, we will seek to cover that for you. But maybe you're a Christian, and perhaps, you know, your excuse is different from I don't believe in God. Whatever your excuse is, it doesn't change the fact, and this is so vital, whatever your excuse is for not becoming a Christian, it doesn't change the fact that God loves you, and loves you immensely. And He has demonstrated His love for you in sending His Son Jesus into the world to die, to pay the price for your sin, so that you could have everlasting life. Whatever is your excuse, God still loves you, and He wants you to know Him. That's why He sent Jesus to die, so that you could receive forgiveness for sin, so that you could receive forgiveness for believing your own lies about God, and so you can have everlasting life, and above all, so that you can know God as your Father. If you want to know God personally, if you want to receive forgiveness of sins and have everlasting life, you need to do what God's Word says. Repent. Turn around from living your life your way. Turn around from believing your own lies, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Know Jesus, or N-O, Jesus. What's your excuse? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your Word tonight. You're very clear, Father, that this is Your Word to those who say they don't believe in You. You say they are liars who are believing their own lies. You say that they already knew that You existed, but they have chosen to suppress that truth for their own lies. Father, in the name of Jesus, strip away this excuse tonight. For those who are listening, those who are watching, those who think that that excuse, Lord God, will stand them any stead, help them to realize that they are not wise in that statement, but they have become fools. For it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. And yet, O God, we thank You that You are so gracious and merciful, so loving and so kind, that Your arms are wide open to receive all who will come to You through faith in Jesus Christ, Your Son. And Lord, we pray tonight that the Spirit of the living God would move with your truth upon people's hearts and minds and grant them faith to believe. Lord, please help people. Help people, Lord, to stop believing their own lies and to believe the truth. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.